Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. So just to recap on last week, the title of the message was God Remembers and God Rewards. And what we were really talking about is God's a God who's right on time, and he never forgets us. He's not a forgetful God. And even though sometimes things don't happen on our timeline, God is always on time. And he never forgets us. And our foundation scripture was in Malachi chapter 3, and it says there about he has a book of remembrance. And he also remembers, he knows that there's pre-appointed times and seasons in our life. And if we miss those times, then we miss them. It's like he's waiting there for you to arrive at that pre-appointed time. And I never forget when Pastor Walter Hallam came years ago. He brought his musical director with him, who spent years playing Father Abraham Had Seven Sons in Kenneth Hagin's Sunday School, and it was driving him mad. And then one day, after he had played his scales and his tunes until he could do them with any sleep, someone said, "We need you on the praise team in the main Rhema auditorium." And he says that day, "I realized that when my preparation met my opportunity, advancement came." And so he never lost hope playing the same old tune for the kids all the time, because he could have just got really, "I've had enough, I'm out of here." But he just stayed focused and he kept on going with it. And then promotion came. So sometimes promotion will come when you least expect it, but when you're properly prepared. Do you believe that? So, a lot of people, I think if I had a conversation with every person here, you'd have a different thing to say about, you'd be like, some of you would say, "Well, I'm actually quite happy not to remember certain things, or I'm quite happy to have forgotten about that." And then there's things that God says, "Remember these things, never forget them." And in fact, he says, you must commit certain things to memory. It's so important to commit something that's important to memory. And there's ways of doing that. But he really takes it seriously when we don't remember. Do you believe that? When we don't remember, when we forget his goodness. And this is what happened in Malachi, because Israel, being the privileged nation, moved from privilege into pollution. They became polluted by, basically, they began to be casual with God, and they began to take the things of, they began to become irreverent. And so they moved from that place of privilege into a place of pollution. And through it all, God still wanted to get the promise to them. Isn't that amazing? Through all of that, he still wanted to get the promise to them. So, and then, of course, there's everyday forgetfulness. And sometimes I think there's so much that we've learned in our life that is buried in a pile of under a pile of forgetfulness that actually would really benefit us to remember it, And so you may have heard this funny quip before, but, it's not just an old person's thing, okay, being forgetful, because young people can be forgetful as well, because I know this happens, maybe happens to some people where, in modern cars, if you've got a handful of stuff in your bunch of car keys and you open your tailgate, so you just kind of drop your keys in the boot there and then you load your stuff in the car and then you shut the tailgate. That has happened to lots of people. And so, you know, forgetfulness is not just, it happens, you know. So like the couple who are, the wife says, would you go and get me? They're always forgetting stuff. And it's got really so serious. They go and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, I can't really help you with that. I mean, there's memory exercises and stuff, but why don't you try writing stuff down and then you'll not forget it? So she says to him one day in the in the living room, listen, you go and get me some ice cream with strawberries on top and some whipped cream on top of the strawberries. And he says, yeah, okay. She says, are you sure you'll remember that? And he says, yeah, I'll remember. It's ice cream, right? Yeah, she says, you should maybe write it down. He says, no, it's ice cream and strawberries, yeah? Yes, and with whipped cream on top. Don't forget that. He says, okay. And so he goes into the kitchen. 20 minutes later, he comes out with a plate of eggs and bacon for her. And he says, there you go. And she says, you've forgotten my toast. So, you probably heard that one before, but it's like, you know, sometimes writing things down helps. Commit things to memory. And I think that we go about a lot of, I think sometimes we get up in the morning and God gives plants tasks in our heart, the Holy Spirit does. And before 9:30, we've forgotten them. And so sometimes, in I know that there's some people here that I love going to some people's houses. You see, they have a place to have their quiet time. They're very special places. You can see there's everything is set out, and their Bibles are there, and they have study materials, and everything is so tranquil. And this is their place. They have a quiet time in the morning. And I think they probably write down a lot of things. And so that helps at the start of the day to get through the days to write out things. Anyway, let me not waste any more time. Let's recap on Malachi chapter 3. So if you go in your Bibles to Malachi 3:13 in the New King James Version, it says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Okay? These guys are saying, do you know what? What's the difference whether you're righteous or not? You know, they were in such a bad place. You know, it goes on in verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. That was the crucial verse. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Even God writes stuff down. The recording angel makes a note, you know, because I know God would never forget anything. He doesn't forget. The only thing he chooses not to remember is the sin that we repent of. He chooses not to. And, you know, a lot of times in our lives, we have to make a choice to forget some things. And we have to make a choice not to remember certain things. You know, I heard a saying once that your past is fertilizer for your future. And there's a lot we can learn from our past, but we don't want to become stuck in it. And so we need to really move forward. Amen? We need to move forward. And so, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. One translation says, on the day that I make them my special treasure. You're God's special treasure. Amen? And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So that was the foundation scripture number one. God has a book of remembrance. God remembers, okay? And the second foundation scripture was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, God remembers and God rewards. Okay, so that's our two foundational scriptures. God remembers and God rewards. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God has a book of remembrance, and our names and our deeds and everything else is recorded in it, if you have feared his name, okay? Because every single act, every single thought, every sacrifice, every act of obedience, everything, he's mindful of it. He knows it, yeah? He knows everything. He knows every time you've sacrificed or suffered for the cause of Christ or for the kingdom, he knows it. He you know, and you know, God is, we don't have to evidence to people that we're doing anything. We just need to know that God sees what we're doing, because otherwise we can get deceived into trying to, you know, well, and this needs to have some validity. You know, I'm doing this. Does nobody recognize it? Does no one see what I'm doing? But God validates what you do. And so you don't be concerned about having that recognition. But what I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, praise on people. Acknowledge what they do. Be thankful. But when it comes from yourself that you're trying to have that, you know, validity and affirmation. You see, it's good to affirm. We will affirm. But understand that God will affirm you, okay? And this is especially important, I'm guessing, in kids' ministry as well, because obviously and that's what we need to do. We need to affirm young people and kids. We really need to. But let them recognize that God knows what you're doing. God sees what you're doing. Amen? So everything, because sometimes we sow in tears and we sow in joy. Sometimes it's hard to keep giving of ourselves and of our substance. But God says, "What I remember and I reward." So be assured of that this morning. And, you know, we should be glad to know that we are his kids and he intensely desires to reward us. And he never breaks a promise. And, I think that that's one of the things that, who has been on the other end of a broken promise? I think every hand in the place will probably go up. You know, we do. We've been on the other end of a broken promise. But God never breaks his promises. And like we prayed, his promises are yes and amen. They never change. They're always the same. And so in Malachi, this prosperity that they were all expecting hadn't arrived yet, okay? They were fed up and they were weary and they were saying, what good is it to serve God? And basically their attitudes turned sour, okay? Their attitudes turned sour towards God. And actually, I was brought up with, especially my granny Walker, she would say, stop gurning. Yeah, just stop gurning. And I thought, what? You know, what is this gurning? And then I worked in the West Country and discovered that they have gurning tournaments. And I thought, this is really happening. There's people that professionally gurn. This is what's going on here, you know. And so but you can imagine their faces. It's like you know, they were gurning, you know. So if everyone turns to their left and pulls their best gurney face, no one will see you. I guarantee you. Turn to your left. Everyone turn to your left. Anyway, so These internal, you see, what happens is internal attitudes eventually become external practices. So whatever is deep down in there, whatever attitude that you have, is eventually going to come to the surface, yeah? And when that happens, when something is, when you have that, especially in our faith, then you begin to become ritualistic and things become mechanical and dead. Our attitudes have turned sour, but we know we better keep on doing what we're doing. Otherwise, God's going to be mad. God's already mad because your attitude's gone wrong. You know what I mean? So we say we'll keep on doing what we're doing. And eventually the heart goes out of it completely. And how many of you know what happens when your heart goes out of something? It's not long before discouragement sets in, despondency, dejection, and eventually it's until you leave, you just give up. And I believe that's why we need to remember that God's promises remain. And that's why I asked Josh and the guys to sing that this morning. Just so that, you know, it gets into our hearts. You never change, your promises remain, you know. You're still the same. So I don't know if any of you know Pastor Adeboye. You have heard Pastor talking about Pastor Adeboye from Redeemed Church in Nigeria. And he tells a story about a couple in the church who were about to embark on an affair, okay? So everything, they made their plans, okay? If you think that affairs don't happen in the church, you need to wake up. Things happen in the church. And because wherever Satan can get a foothold, you know, he'll try and bring strife. So anyway, this couple, they plan everything for their secret liaison. Don't need to go into the details, but they make sure that they get as far away from everything and everybody as possible so that they know that when they get there, that no one is going to recognize who they are, okay? How far away would that have to be? Who knows, okay? Maybe not far enough. And so everything was sorted out. The atmosphere is just right. And just at the last moment, the woman looks at the guy and she looks up and she looks at the guy again and she says, no, no, it's not happening. And he's like, you can imagine what he's like. He's like, I've gone through all of this. You know, we've planned this and we've, you know. And then, the reality dawns that when they look up, they know that nothing is done in secret. And God sees everything. So they abandon their tryst, and that's it. But the point of that is nowhere is the right place to do the wrong thing. Because God knows, he sees everything. He sees everything. And it's just not worth it. So, let's not tempt God. Let's not test him. Because sometimes our mind begins to plan in ways. Well, I could do this. And you know what? I think that maybe it would be okay to do that. And maybe God won't, you know. We go for the borderline gray area and think we'll manage to do something slightly outside of his will, you know. But it'll be okay. His grace is sufficient for me. But look up. Look up and ask the question, you know. And I think when we do that, we discern immediately by the Holy Spirit. He says, no, wrong move. And so I want to talk about a little bit about our memories this morning as well and about our conscience, okay? Because God remembers, but we also have to contend with our memory, okay? And how many people have ever been influenced by a guilty conscience before? You ever had a guilty conscience? How long have you carried the guilty conscience? For some people, it's a long time. For some people, it becomes something that is like the guilt is there, And then it eventually gets kind of put in the filing drawer in the back of the mind, but it's always there. It's always coming back, you know, and you haven't made right. You haven't put it right. And in Malachi chapter 2:16, actually, do you want to go there? Malachi 2:16. I haven't written this one down in my notes. Malachi 2:16, it says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit." That's the part of the verse that I'm getting at here, that you do not deal treacherously. So there it says, take heed to your spirit. In other words, God is saying, pay attention to your conscience. Pay attention to your conscience. Take heed to your spirit. That couple that thought they were going to go and get away with it, they paid heed to their spirit. Yeah? And why is our conscience so important? It's because we can sear our conscience. And so go in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, in the New King James Version, it says, I'll just read the whole thing. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." So that there tells us that our conscience can be seared. And that's a dangerous thing, because we become so desensitized. And I think that's one of the things that coming in today, I think it was John that said, "Did you hear the breaking news?" And I hadn't, that there had been another bombing in Egypt. And it's almost like every day you hear there's a truck or there's a bomb or there's something going on. And we need to pay attention to our conscience and not allow our consciences to be seared and to be desensitized to these things. And to, do you know what? It's just another day. And, you know, it's going to happen again tomorrow, and it's going to happen again next week. Well, we do live in a rapidly changing world, but we are here as agents of change, and we do have to pray. We do have to pray, and we do have to do, but we cannot forget about it, okay? So we've got to remember, okay? And as we were saying earlier on, God has a selective memory, all right? So if you've anything, guilt, shame, anything like that, okay? And you might say, well, is guilt a sin? Well, how does guilt affect your life? Is it like a weight on your life? Does it hinder your freedom? Does it have you in bondage? Well, then it's not of God, then, is it? It's not of God if that's the case. And so we need to repent of that. And because God does not remember the things that we have repented of, okay? Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east from the west, okay? Never the two shall meet. That's how far, when we repent, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. If you're sitting in church this morning, if you're here and you're struggling with anything, please remember that. He is faithful and he will forgive, and he will just choose to put that out of his mind. Amen. We drag up the memories of the past. You know, we remember the pollution that we've been through in our marriages and our families and everything else. And you know, and we wrestle with the thoughts of people that have let us down in life and all of this kind of stuff. But what we really need to remember is the privilege that we have, that we were adopted into the family of God. That's what we need to remember. We need to remember, just like Malachi, we need to remember the original privilege, all right? The privilege that we had of being adopted into the family of God. Amen? And so, because that is something I'm hearing more and more of these days is are people that are choosing to stay out of fellowship, and then justifying that everything is still okay. You know, God wants us to be together. And you know what? I believe that I read a blog from Jamie and Leah Peters. Anyone heard of Jamie and Lee Peters? They're missionaries in Uganda area, and they've been experiencing, landmines and all of that kind of stuff. And in one of the blogs I read, she's like, when the landmines are going off and the guns are blazing, you don't care what denomination someone is. You're there to help one another. Has nothing to do with denomination or your doctrine or what you prefer or not prefer. When you're in that environment, the most important thing is that we are one body. That is the most important thing. And so we've got to be very careful that our comfort doesn't become our condemnation, because we can get real comfortable here. We can get really comfortable in Scotland at the moment. And we had a deep conversation yesterday. Well, deep for us. I don't know. God says, remember where you are. You're in an area. Do you think that all of these world superpowers are that stupid that they don't understand how strategic the west coast of Scotland is? Hunterston Power Station, Fast Lane, Glasgow, all of these places. God forbid anything would come to our doorstep. But we've got to remember that. And sometimes, relating to the experiences of someone that's in a place like, that's been in a civil war, it just kind of makes you realize, just remember. And that we're adopted into one family. Amen? And we're to be here for each other and have each other's back. Amen? So, amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, all right? What does that mean when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me? We always quote that when we're taking communion, don't we? We think of Jesus' sacrifice for us, is that right? So how can we take that into our daily lives every day? We could take communion every day. There's nothing to stop you from taking communion at home every day. But what I believe is this. I believe that it means that when we're conscious of Jesus in our daily comings and goings and our sayings and our doings, okay, what we do in remembrance of and in honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord, all right? So in our daily lives, comings and goings, sayings and doings, when we do all of that in conscious of Jesus and what he did for us, that honors him. Amen? And that's the kind of remembrance I think Jesus is trying to get us to understand, is that remember me not just at Communion Sunday, but remember me every day. Through what you're doing. Amen? So, and in God's book of remembrance, I believe that that book of remembrance records everything that we do in honor of Jesus. Yeah? And do you remember last week I said that the reason why God records things is to fulfill his nature to reward us? Do you remember I said that? So that's he is such a desire, as I said, to reward us. And I think we can understand that as parents sometimes. Do you ever have a sudden uncontrollable urge to reward your child? Yeah? Come on. I do. Really? No, I do. You do. You have these like, you know, I just want to do something nice. You know, you just want to do something that's reward that will reward them. So we've got to understand that we've got to accept that it's His will to reward us. And if we can't accept that, then it's going to be difficult to move forward in a relationship with Him. So we've got to understand that it's God's desire to reward us, okay? Off the back of remembering, He wants to reward us. If we shut Him out and we, you know, and sometimes people won't accept something good because they're in a huff with you. That you come there with a peace offering. You've come with a peace offering. You've come to make right and they're still mad with you. They won't take it, you know? And so, but we can't have a relationship like that with God. We've got to understand that we have got to accept that He wants to reward us. And so in Malachi, God's basically saying to the people there, the reason that the promise hasn't come, blessing's not flowing into your lives and everything else, it's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I'm not concerned about you, okay? It's because you've basically been disobedient and because you've dishonored our covenant together. That was the whole thing that God's saying to them there. He's saying, I'm concerned about you. I love you. Well, then why haven't the promises arrived? Where's the stuff that you said was going to come? We've been marking time for all this time. It's not coming. What's the use? What's the point? So anyway, that's what happened. He was like, I'm concerned. And he feels the same way about us. He's concerned about us. You know, he loves us. Amen. We had a conversation yesterday about the railway children, didn't we, sweetheart? There was a movie on the TV yesterday. Was it yesterday morning? I was thinking I was eating my breakfast. And the railway children. Anyone seen that movie? And it was like we were having this little chat about, you know, look at the way people used to interact with each other. You know, they didn't say very much, but that was very. What they did say was very weighty, and it was, you know, and it was very proper. And people, there was a body language, and people were very, you know, sincere in their expressions. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And so, I think we've got to remember that, because God is saying, why have you become? You know, the priests were offering up unclean animals, and they had basically let their standards slip, and the way that they were communicating with God became sloppy. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was just we were kind of thinking to how it is these days. You know, and how people communicate and converse with one another. And it's changed over decades. It's definitely changed. And so, you know, I think we really need to place a high priority on how we communicate with the Lord. Would you agree with that? Amen. So I want to just look at some examples quickly of those that God remembers. Genesis 8, God remembered Noah. And you remember we mentioned about rainbow moments. So God remembered Noah, and he also promised that rainbow was a sign that he would never again wipe out all of the living creatures and all of that. You can read that in Genesis. So then in Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, it says God remembered Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, it says, God remembered Rachel. God remembers you, Rachel. God remembered Rachel and opened her womb. Yeah? And then a great story, and I'm sure that in kids' life they get this, Samson in Judges 16, verse 28. Actually, just go there. Go to Judges. It's just Joshua, Judges 16, 28. Let me read this to you. It says, "Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray.'" Just listen to this. This is so good. "Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." You know the story. They bored his eyes out, and he was led into that hallway where all of the Philistines were, and he asked the people leading him in, he says, "Just place my hands on the pillars of it so that I may feel them." And of course, he was a powerful, powerful man. He was a Nazarite, and the strength came from the length of his hair. But come on now, we're still strong, eh, Joe? So I think you can still be a little bit strong. But he was so strong, and of course, but he says, "God, just remember me one more time. Remember me one more time." And this is after he had fallen in with Delilah and all of that stuff. He says, "God, remember me one more time." And what does he do? He just goes like that, and the whole place comes down. And it says there that more people were slain or killed in that day than he had ever slain in his past. So the place must have been packed out. Because I think in one, don't remember, but didn't he use the jawbone of a donkey and slay like so many of opponents that came against him? So, you know, but the interesting thing is, why does God say in these verses that he remembers these people? Is it because that God forgot them? I believe what it's trying to point out is not that God had forgotten them, but that there was an appointed season and a time for them. And then he remembered. And this is what I'm going to finish the message on today, is to get this understanding of God hasn't forgotten about you, but we need to understand that there's a timing, and and we'll go through that just now. Okay, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. Are you ready? Okay. I mentioned to you about Pastor Walter's guy. And you begin to make an advancement when your preparation, when God's promise, okay, when God's opportunity comes your way and you're prepared, in a colossal way, you just go to another level, yeah? So, there's a moment of remembrance, and we've seen that there in Judges with Samson, okay? The critical thing, we've got to be in the place, in that place at the right time, okay? So before I get there, this is a little, the scholars in here will get this. The word rememorare is Latin for remembrance, and it means to call to mind or be mindful of something. So we've got to be in the right place at God's time, and we've also got to have the right deposit, okay? We've got to have made the right deposits. Do you understand that? So how many of you are happy when you look at your bank statement? You should be blessed. But when you look at your bank statement, that's a record of all of the deposits that you've made, yeah? It tells you where you are. That's your statement. Your bank is basically saying to you, "I declare that you are overdrawn. No Sky TV." Or, "I declare to you that you are in the black. Take a holiday." So this is a statement, all right? And the statement is made up of deposits and withdrawals, of course, okay? So God has a record of, remember the book of remembrance, scroll of remembrance. Have you been faithful? Have you been obedient? So I'm like, well, what does my statement look like? In fact, I'm thinking of paying to have my credit report. Has anyone ever had their credit report done? I haven't had it done before, but I want to see, dare I go there in church, PPI. I'm like to Linda, sweetheart, do you think we've actually got any PPI? do you think it'd be worth just like making sure? Some people in this church have been very blessed by PPI returns in the past. Anyone here had a PPI return? Ah, okay. So it does actually happen then. Does work. What was I getting at there? See, I got distracted there by talking about PPI. What? Credit report. Yeah, I wanted to see how I stand. How do I stand? You know, I'm like, sometimes it's like if God sends you through a statement like by the Holy Spirit, it's like, here's how you stand, you know. Read your statement. You know, it's there in black and white. So anyway, we've got to be in the right place, okay? At God's time, we've got to be prepared. We've got to have made those deposits. And God has a sovereign time for everything. Do you believe that? There's definitely a sovereign time. We can become weary before that time. The danger, we can become weary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says there, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Okay? So every promise that God's made is a yes. It will come to pass. It's up to us not to become weary. Okay? It's up to us to be there on the time. And so I remember one time when I nagged my dad for a motorcycle, all right? And I nagged him for ages. And eventually, he got this old farm bike from somewhere, or from a farmer, presumably. It had a ripped-up seat. It didn't run, and it was a bag of nuts and bolts. And anyway, I think the engine wasn't even in it and stuff. And he says, "Right, okay, there you go. There's the bike." So I thought, oh, okay, but you know, something inside me sparked. And every day I got home from school, I'd go into the garage and I'd sit on the motorbike. Okay, so you can imagine I'd go in, I'd sit on the bike, and then I'd start making the noises. And ding, 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 and make all the noises. And then I'd bank the motorcycle over to the left and the right, and I would visualize myself riding this motorcycle. I'd make the noises. And I'm like, maybe for 2 years, okay, this thing sat in the garage, all right? And at one point I began to lose hope. But my dad assured me, he says, "You know what, sometime it'll get sorted out, okay?" And it wasn't happening. And then I met a boy down the street, and he was in technical college, and he was studying motor mechanics. So I said to him, "Listen, my dad got me this old bike." I says, "And, you know, it would be my heart's desire." He says, my dad said to me, he promised me, it would run one day. I says, "But I'm fed up waiting. I need to get it done." And he says, "Well, you know what? My dad's got a garage in Middleburg, and we do car engines and stuff. I'll take a look at it." So I gave it to my friend down the street, and he took it away, and he had it for a few weeks. And basically, what happened was, he breathed life into this motorcycle, all right? And the thing that I get from this is that the day that he came round to, I'm like, Philip, how's it going with the bike? He says, "Yeah, tomorrow afternoon after school." So I, of course, you know, it's on the bus. Can't wait. You didn't concentrate all day in school. And I'm sitting there, and then I hear the noise coming. Ning, ning. And I'm like, that's my bike. And it's like that day, the promise came alive. It was like that day, after the 2+ years of waiting, the promise came to life. So, you know, all the discouragement of the past was like washed away in that one moment. So I encourage you today to wait for the promise to come to life. When it does, all of the discouragement and the weariness and everything, it'll just flood away. You won't even remember it. Do you believe that? So he's got a timetable. God's got a timetable. He's got a set time, fullness of time, appointed time, and a due time. Okay? If you go to Galatians 4, it says there, now I say that the heir, Galatians 4, verse 4, sorry, Deja. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, all right, God sent forth his son Jesus, born of a woman, etc., to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So this proves to us that God says there's a time appointed, there's an appointment, okay? There's a due time. And so we've got to remember that we've got to wait for that, okay? Did I read this bit? No, okay. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. The just shall live by faith in these precious promises, while the performance of them is deferred. Only those made just by faith shall live and shall be happy here and forever. That's a wonderful scripture. It says there that the just shall live by faith in the promises that God has made, okay, while the performance of them, in other words, they're not here yet. Those promises haven't arrived. They've been deferred, but only those made just by faith. Basically, I don't know what you're getting from this, but it's saying if you give up waiting for the promise, you that's a dangerous place to be in, because the just shall live by faith and they will be happy here and forevermore. So we've got to not lose faith while we're waiting. So, and to finish off just a bit in the same chapter in Habakkuk, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, the future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will, what does that word say? Certainly come. I'm in the Amplified. What does it say? It will surely come. It will certainly come. It will not delay. So understand God's time. It's going to happen, all right? It's going to happen. And I just wanted to encourage you this morning that God remembers you, and God remembers this church, and God remembers that appointed time, and he won't let you down. He won't let you down. Do you receive it this morning? You have to receive it. The most important thing is the reception. You have to receive the God's word. And so can you trust him? Can you hang on in there? And you know, there's one thing that God takes more seriously than anything is a vow, you know, and a promise. And he says, I think it's in Proverbs, it says, rather, don't even bother making a vow if you're not going to come good on it. So, and God's made promises to us, so I know that God is faithful and that he's going to come through for you and for us. Amen? If we just tarry, it's going to come. Amen. Well, that was part two of that. God remembers and God rewards. And so meditate on some of those things and do the motorbike thing, but in your own situation. Sometimes you just have to go and, you know, act like it's happened, you know. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's like sometimes you've just got to take that step, and sometimes it might feel risky, but if you just take that step as if, you know, God, I know it's your promise that it's going to happen, and there's an appointed time, But remember, we've got to move towards it. So trust God, trust his Holy Spirit, and he'll move you step by step towards the promises that he has for you. Do you believe that?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.